This is the Straight Talk on how business architecture practices can leverage presentation design for greater success. I'm Wendy Keene, author of Straight Talk, and I am joined today by our guest star, James Jones. Hi, James.
Hey, Wendy.
James is a presentation designer combining an early career in television animation, web design, and e-learning with years of business strategy and development. He partners with his peers on the business side to create clear and consumable assets for communication and decision making. And one thing you may not know about James is that he still rollerblades. Not a lot of rollerbladers are left out there since its heydays in the 90s, but James is one that still makes it out to the skate parks. I love that. So I have had the pleasure and honor of working with James for many years of my business architecture career. And I think that he has fresh, unique, and highly important perspectives from his experience working as a designer supporting a very large business architecture team for quite a long period of time. We're going to have the opportunity to hear more about that during our conversation today. And when we think about our business architecture practices or even our competencies as business architects, I think we focus on developing and using the business architecture. And while that is important, and of course, front and center, to really be successful, there are many other things that we also need to be good at, like how to present information visually and verbally. We will explore this theme throughout various Straight Talk podcasts, but today we're focused on presentation design. So now let's hear from James on how it works and why this is so important for business architecture teams. James, you've played quite an extraordinary role as a presentation designer supporting a large volume of complex business architecture work. Can you give us an overview of that, what you did, the role you played, and can you generally ground us on what the role is of a presentation designer?
I'll start off with just the general presentation designer and kind of what that is in terms of a role and how it's emerging. Much like business architecture maybe 10 years ago, where you had people with that title that may have been everywhere from an analyst to a high-level strategic partner, you have the same within presentation design. So you have a lot of companies out there calling a presentation designer just a junior graphic designer that, right out of college, who is doing a lot more cleanup services. In the world of law or banking, you have document services people who tend to just clean up work. And then you have the other side of that, which is more of a strategic partner, where you come in and you help talk through the concepts, whether that's a full presentation, sales deck, pitch, whatever it is, or individual illustration. So that's the general presentation designer role. And in my career, I've been lucky enough to work through larger initiatives with, 10 to 20 people who are trying to present up to executive CEO level. And then I've worked with individuals who, are just on their own doing a one-off project and really just need to communicate that out to their team. So it really varies quite a bit. And the function itself in an organization is best done as a shared service, I find, where the flexibility in going from team to team and where it's needed is really how I've found it to be the most successful use of the role. And then today I support about 250 people in an organization, not at one time, but doing everything from pitch to sales to board of directors meetings.
So what type of graphic design work do you typically do? And let's say for business architecture teams in particular, what are some of the most common things that you're asked to create?
With business architecture, the first one that comes to mind is the target architecture. So really grounding people on current state and aspirational state, and mapping that out at a level that's high enough for executives to consume. Because a lot of times you have these Visio diagrams that are just, they're not consumable immediately, and they really need to be elevated a bit. I also produce a lot of kickoff decks. Most meetings or most initiatives, usually the teams have a kickoff meeting. That's really a chance to get everybody on the same page, rally everybody towards the same goal. So they come into play a lot. And then things like roadmap, explainer videos for when UI or some software function needs to be done, dashboarding for project management. And then I also work a lot with the executives to help facilitate meetings and be a thought partner when they're trying to organize things around a key concept.
Can you give us a bit of a view onto how this all works? So, for example, how do you typically receive requests? What do people provide you as input? How do you work with them throughout the process? That sort of thing.
I typically work with more of a informal intake process. It's just been easier that way. Once you add too many layers of intake to it, so if somebody has to fill out a form to use you, it's less likely they're going to. I've typically worked in an environment where I've been able to self-manage that. And then within the actual working sessions, ideally, I'd like to have a meeting where I can sit down with the subject matter expert or the architect and talk through what their context, their purpose, and their outcomes are. I use that tool a lot in order to ground everybody. And then I can always go back and say, does this meet our outcome? Or that's context that they already have. Or, you know, like our purpose here was supposed to do this, and this kind of takes us off the path. Do we need to reevaluate our purpose, or do we need to cut this out? And that's usually the way I approach it. But when I do get someone in the room from, you know, the nuts and bolts of it is I usually share my screen and I'll pull up PowerPoint. I typically work in PowerPoint. And I'll build out skeletons of either a deck or of an illustration where we kind of get to talk through it as I rough it out. And if it's something longer than an individual illustration, we'll typically take the time then to assign where the content's coming from so that we can, after the meeting, go and assign that to people and say, hey, go to slide 2 and fill in what we think here. And there'll be some notes for them. And then I get to go back, consume those notes, turn it into a visual slide, turn it into an illustration, and then we can iterate from there. And typically I try to impart ownership to the subject matter expert. They are the ones that are typically presenting it or using that illustration in their meeting. So I really want to be there as a service to them more so than just like, oh, you're the graphic designer, you go and do this. I really want to be a partner with them so that they have ownership of it.
To expand on that thought, part of what I really appreciated about working with you and your team, James, was that you not only would provide this amazing and well-designed outputs, but as you're saying, you were thinking partners for us as architects, and you helped us to shape the end results into something better than it would have ever been without your involvement. So can you speak even more to that about your interaction as a designer with the person you're working with and how you add value to that process?
I am typically not the expert in the room. I'm not heads down for 3 months working on an architecture initiative, and I'm bouncing around from team to team. I come in with the least amount of expertise in the area, so it gives me a fresh perspective on it. That kind of perspective is hard to get when you've been heads down for so long. So aside from not being the expert, as I speak to an architect, let's say, constantly drawing out the concept in my head. So studies have shown that creativity is also the same brain area for ruminations. And what is great for maybe a designer might not be for a relationship. But what it does is it allows me to really fixate on something. And if I can't make sense of it, I can't move on. So I really have this block, and a lot of designers do, and they're kind of built from the same structure, that if they can't mentally make sense of it, like by visually drawing it out in their head and kind of working through that concept, you just keep asking questions. And, you know, there's all those rules of like seven questions, things like that, that you can draw upon, but it's just making sure that you leave that meeting understanding it entirely and not being afraid to keep asking the questions. And I never look like the dumb person in the room because I'm new to it. So it really gives a different perspective, and that kind of helps me.
So now for a really fundamental question, based on everything that you've seen, why is good presentation design so important for a business architecture practice? I mean, why aren't our content and messages enough? Why is presentation design so important to our success?
So architecture is typically not understood at a glance. It's complicated. It's usually got layers to it. It's sometimes ambiguous and needs to be relatable. So a lot of times new ideas or new concepts that maybe an executive hasn't seen before, they really can't get their head around it just quickly. And you need to have an analogy so that they can own it. You need to have some way that they can be like, oh, I understand that problem, right? In order to sell it, and that's where design comes in a lot of times, you need to work with your audience to make it as relatable as possible to them. And oftentimes that means you need somebody there that can weed through some of the complicated and ambiguous things and make them more tangible. And that's really the job of a designer. On top of that, you need brevity. And most experts, if you speak to a doctor who specializes in something, they cannot tell you the 101 course. They know too much and think you need to know all of it. And the same thing happens with an architect who's been living a particular project for so long. They have so many ties and so many connecting points that they need to tell you about, regardless of whether that is important or not. And when you work with a designer, their goal is really to make it concise and have clarity and make sure it meets an objective. And those things kind of get pulled to the surface with the designer. And then the other side of it is just color, white space, regular design principles. Having proper white space on a page. Too often you go and you look at someone's architectural diagram, and there's nowhere for your eye to rest. There's nowhere to kind of consume this bit, then that bit, the obvious separations. Color is often overused. You fill the entire box with red and the other box with yellow versus using an indicator of red and yellow. So things like that are what a designer can bring to a project to really make it more clear and consumable.
I think that is all so spot on, well articulated. And I wonder if you could share any stories of times maybe when you know the designs that you provided changed the outcome of a situation. Do you have any ideas that you might be able to share there?
Sure. I mean, one thing as a designer, everybody wants to praise you because you do something different than they do. And it's really, you know, endearing and nice, but at the same time, it's a small part of the world, right? You need all the people building the work in order for the designer to do it, but to really like drive that last bit home. And I think the clearest example that I have was a project that was being done agile, and it was kind of on a multi-year roadmap with no real urgency and, you know, iterative design and all of that. And it came to the attention of some executives that it could save a good chunk of money. So myself and a project manager and an analyst went into the project to meet with all their stakeholders and meet with the team driving it. And we spent about 2 weeks engaged with that team. And my main goal was to build that current state and that future state, and to get them on a roadmap that had some stakes in the ground. It was very clear in producing those artifacts that they were not on the same page. I think, you know, when I asked for for what your timeline is, it was like, well, our real timeline or our speculative? It's like, okay, you just need to put this down on paper. And as you walk through that process with someone, they see the holes, they see the gaps. And, you know, in the end, that was one where we were able to deliver what was on, I think, a 4-year roadmap in under a year. So, yeah, we were really happy about that. And that was something where my immediate impact was felt just in trying to get them to work through those artifacts because they had never had it before.
Great story. A question for you in a different direction. Many business architecture teams, actually most, I would say, they don't have access to design talent like you. Or in the rare cases where they do, they will still create many illustrations and presentations on their own so that they can leverage people like you for just the highest priority things. So what are some of the top tips that you can share with us as architects to make ourselves better? What are the top things we should learn how to do? And what's out there that we can already readily leverage?
Well, I would say the first thing is to take the time to learn PowerPoint or whatever tool you use, if it's Visio, PowerPoint. I particularly use PowerPoint. I feel like that is the number one tool being used in business today. More people jump into that to create something than they do Word. And it's very robust. So I would say learn that tool. There are a couple areas of that tool that I would focus on, like the format shape and the arrange panel. Having your objects aligned properly and having them kind of feel like a proper grid, those are areas that I think really elevate your design a lot. And then using color in certain ways, like you use it for intention, not just because you want to make it pop and have more fun. When you use photos, use a color treatment with the photos. And in PowerPoint, it's one click to take a photo and wash it blue or wash it red or whatever is needed for that slide. And I would also say you want to be able to get to your point as quickly as possible. So try to weed out as much of the superfluous content that you can. Put it maybe in appendix or be able to support it in a way that's maybe not on the page itself. And there's plenty of people who talk about you know, how many bullets you should have, things like that. But really, it's just a matter of what you feel comfortable presenting. And to that point, everyone likes to find a set of rules that they can follow to do this when it's not something that's typically in their wheelhouse. So you're not a designer, you go, you read a book on design and you find these rules. My advice would be to not hold fast to those rules and to be a little bit more flexible, the artisan, when to apply them. You know, just because somebody said you should only spend 3 minutes per slide and you have a 15-minute, that doesn't mean you really need to do that. You can get all your players on the page. I think that's another thing that people fail in their illustrations with in their presentations is they introduce concepts far too often. Think of it like a play and make sure all your actors are present and introduced before you start using them. That's within a single page illustration or within a longer presentation. And two of the resources that I use regularly, Unsplash is a website for royalty-free images that are really high quality and really nice. And then Diagrammer is a Duarte tool that basically allows you to find a PowerPoint diagram you like, download it, and saves you tons of time.
Well, as we wrap up our conversation, would you like to share any final closing comments, James?
The emerging field of presentation design, it's becoming more and more popular. Just doing quick LinkedIn searches, you'll find a variety of roles and different skill sets being asked and offered. But what to expect really is similar to what the business architecture field has seen over the past 10 years or so, is the focus is going to narrow. What you're going to see is more designers being paired with the business teams. I think there's a lot of people going that direction, whether it's through a marketing function and being able to facilitate those meetings, or whether it's through a communications area, or as I worked often in a project management office, being able to kind of work through multiple teams. So I think look out for that. There's a lot of it coming. There's a lot of jobs out there for it. And I think it's just becoming more and more of an ask as people interact with that. And then I would say, if you do work with a designer, treat it as you're the art director. So give them the direction, give them the strategic intent, but let them design it and then iterate with them. It is yours. You have to own it. You have to present it. Feel comfortable critiquing it. Any good designer will own the work they've done. They'll know it's yours, that you have to present it. So be comfortable in that. You don't have to like everything they do. I, for instance, make 20 illustrations in a week. I can't get them all right. So feel free to be a little critical.
What an interesting and valuable conversation. James, it has been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today. You are one of a kind, and we truly appreciate you sharing your expertise with us.
I was happy to be part of it.
And thank you all for joining us today. We'll talk to you next time on Straight Talk.